Mail call.
It's a mailbag Monday with a killer bees.
You've got mail.
Mailbag Monday. You can ask the Killer Bees, Mr. Cole Thompson, filling in for Blankers today. Blankers with the family. Mr. Cole Thompson, you can normally listen to on the network side in the wee hours of the morning. He was telling me his schedule earlier, and I couldn't do it.
Fireman Cole here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
literally
for sure.
On my third energy drink of the day, I'm basically Dan Campbell late.
I wasn't trying to roast you about your dating life, but I realized, and Mape's pointing this out too, that I know something about you that probably most of our listening audience does not. I know that you're recently engaged.
I am.
So that's why I said that your dating life is non-existent. Not because you're not capable of doing so, but now because you're engaged, which is great. Congratulations. I wasn't trying to roast you. I know it came across that way.
I would hope I don't have a dating life. My fiance would be pissed at that one. Hey, you know, I'm just going to go out and explore my other options. You know, we have a wedding in June. Yeah, well, you know what?
Yeah.
Never too late to go ahead and take home.
That's why I said that. Not because I was just crushing Cole over here. But what's your question for the Killer Bees? Our Mailbag Monday, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. 1012, can somebody tell me when Tony Romo goes into free agency? I can't be the only person that can't stand to hear him in the broadcast booth. Didn't he recently sign a deal?
So yeah, I think it was
huge.
Like a 7-year deal, like $300 million, something like that.
I think he still has like 5 years left on it, because I think it was a couple of years ago when he did it. So he's not going anywhere, and he's not going anywhere anytime soon. I don't disagree with the logic, though, that Tony Romo is overrated in the booth. There was that play in the Dolphins-Bills game where I think it was the fourth down play where Tyreek Hill was running just a little drag past the linebackers in front. And Tony Romo was like, oh, if that connects, it could have scored. Dude, there's like three dudes behind him. There's another dude coming over this way. Like, it might have connected for a first down, but it could have scored. Like, he's way over the top sometimes.
Well, let me get your opinion on this. Do you like that he knows the plays and basically tells you the play before it actually unfolds?
No, I don't like that.
See, that's the thing, and that's like the big difference between, I think, you and I. I actually like that he tells me the plays, so I don't have to second guess it. What I will say is, and the thing that I absolutely hate, is when they miss a play, especially on the defensive side. It's like, oh, look at that big old breakaway for the likes of Stephon Diggs. Dude, it was a cover zero blitz. What do you expect on that? Yeah, you have seven guys blitzing, and it's a one-on-one man coverage. Don't tell me for 1 second, oh, Xavien Howard got burned. I saw that on Twitter yesterday. It's like, oh, Xavien Howard gets burned by Stephon Diggs. Yeah, because it's a cover zero blitz. You're sending seven guys up the middle and saying, hey, go ahead and beat this guy one-on-one. Best of luck to you.
I don't think the average fan can realize that, though. The average fan, I mean, especially when you're watching it from the TV broadcast camera, it's tough to see, like, you know, the all 22, what exactly the zone's doing. But I think Romo's over the top. I don't like that he tries to predict the plays, because an analyst's job is to tell me why it happened.
Yeah.
Not to tell me what's going to happen before it happens. And then a lot of times he misses too. Like, it's cool that he gets it right every now and then. Awesome. I don't care. Like, I want to know your thoughts after the play of why it happened, not telling me and trying to predict what is going to happen. I think Romo's overrated as well. 9656, can you fire Blankers and hire this guy? We love Mr. Cole Thompson, but we don't love him more than Blankers. That's not going to happen anytime soon.
I love him more than Blankers.
What, you love you more than
I
Blankers?
I love me more than I love Blankers.
You better watch what you're saying.
You'd have to change the name of the show, though.
Yeah, it would be difficult. Yeah. Unless you, or Cole could change his name.
I could say.
What's your middle name?
Thomas.
That didn't work either.
Nope.
So you're Thomas Thompson?
Yeah, I'm CT3. CT3, baby.
Oh, you can't have a middle name and a last name that are that close.
My dad's name is Thomas Thompson. So,
really?
It's TT. Like, literally, it's Tommy Thompson.
I saw a realtor's name the other day in my neighborhood, and it was Christopher. It's like,
see, that's bad luck.
Maybe go by your middle name.
I would be like, that's a typo on the sign. Like, there's no way.
I guess it works for a realtor, though. I just said his name. Like, it kind of caught my eye. 713-780-ESPN, Mailbag Monday. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776. 5639. Do you guys pronounce it data or data? Because if you say data, all other options are void to me. That's difficult to read on the air without having, like, tone in how you're pronouncing it. But are you a data or data guy?
Data. Always been a data guy.
I think I used to be data and changed it to data.
I've never been able to say data. I don't know why. Maybe it's just the way it rolls off the tongue. Maybe it's because of my family's from the Midwest. That's why I think that probably I say certain words that are different than everyone else. But, like, that's my main thing, is that I look at data. I can't say data. Data to me sounds like dada. Like, I'm talking like your 5-month-old son.
How are you supposed to say it? I say data.
I think it's dealer's choice. I don't know if there's an actual.
How do you say pecan? You say pecan or pecan?
Oh, pecan.
I say pecan unless I'm trying to be real country. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, give me a little pecan pie.
Give me some pecan pie. No, it's pecan.
All right.
Like even my future father-in-law very much lives out in Magnolia, loves to go hunting, loves all that. It's pecan. Like, even he's like, not even pecan. No, it's pecan.
Yeah. Pecan, that's what I say. 713-780-3776, Mailbag Monday. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 1440. Who else thinks that Pat McAfee is a D-back? I love Pat McAfee. I think he's hilarious.
I will say, the Pat McAfee show is one of my favorite shows to watch on YouTube. Now, watching him on College Game Day, I do think there's a little bit of an oversaturation with it because of that type of mentality that you're trying to get that big, brash character. But for the Pat McAfee show, second to none. Like, he's a stud at what he does.
He's very gimmicky, and he lives up to the gimmick. I think he's hilarious. College Game Day, I think they needed a Pat McAfee. Now, I don't think that Pat McAfee should be like the dude, like the star of College Game Day, which he's not. I still think it's Herb Street. But you need that second guy that's just like over the top, because that's who Corso used to be.
Right,
Corso
exactly.
used to be the dude that puts on the mascot head. They need that new guy. I think Pat McAfee's great in whatever role he's doing, quite honestly.
I will always watch him on the Pat McAfee show. I love his interviews. I love the way that he's brash. I love the way that because of he is a former athlete, he asks questions like a former athlete would versus how we would.
Yeah.
And he gets away with it because people respect him for that. But there is a certain level to where I don't like him on College Game Day. I do agree with you. Herb Street still is the key piece. That's the guy that I go watch. But you do need that brash personality to go counteract the likes of a guy such as Lee Corso. So if he is the Lee Corso replacement, I don't hate it, but I also understand why people maybe don't like it. But from an actual podcast standpoint, guys, there's a reason why he is the king of YouTube. Like, there's
good.
A reason for it.
B. Hannon says, is Aaron Rodgers retiring tomorrow?
No.
I don't think he retires at all.
Do you think that he stays, though, in Green Bay is the question?
That contract makes it difficult to trade him.
But here's the thing. If you trade him, so my perfect example, if you were to trade him to the Tennessee Titans for 2024 draft capital, it makes it more resentable. Because if you would be eating a little bit of money this year, but Tennessee would be taking on that money from 2024 and beyond, those are when the years really are matter and it comes off your salary cap. But if you don't like Jordan Love, then move off Jordan Love. If you like Jordan Love, why not move off Aaron Rodgers, get as much draft capital for the next 3 years as possible, and try and build your team in that image? Because honestly, what I saw from Jordan Love this past year was enough for me to feel confident.
It was like seven passes.
But it was enough for me to feel confident to where if he's not the guy a year from now, I'll have the draft capital to move up and get my guy, a Caleb Williams, a Drake May, and I won't really have to worry about those kind of things.
I'm also very intrigued by Jordan Love. If the Texans go the route where they go like D'Amico Ryan's defense at 2-12 and then use like that second rounder to trade for like a project quarterback, maybe that second rounder's too early. I would love if Jordan Love's the next quarterback for the Texans to see, like, kind of the example that you just drew up, where if he's great in that year, okay, you got your dude. If he's not, well, you just take a quarterback in 24.
I got a better one for you. Do you same deal. So two third-round picks.
Okay.
Two third-round picks for Jordan Love.
I like it for Love.
Or two third-round picks for Trey Lance.
I don't like it for Lance.
See, if I'm looking at it from this standpoint, I got 3 years of draft cap. I mean, I got 3 years of security with Trey Lance. I know what he is capable of. Maybe it's because if I had him as QB2 in the draft in 2021, I had him higher than Justin Fields, so I like him a little bit more. But if I can go ahead and give up two third-round picks, one this year, one next year, and then maybe swap third-round picks for San Francisco, I consider that a win, because if now I can focus in on getting a Will Anderson or Jalen Carter, I can focus in on either getting a wide receiver or another defensive lineman, and I can build my team with having a quarterback still on a rookie contract.
If it's D'Amico Ryans is the guy, then D'Amico Ryans is going to give you your answer, because
exactly.
He's been around Trey Lance. 1970, what kind of sandals do you wear to the beach? Slides or flip-flops?
Slides.
Oh, I don't own slides. I'm a flip-flop kind of guy. I wear flip-flops a lot. I would wear flip-flops every day if I didn't think it was non-becoming of a sports radio host, because dress code matters here in the offices of Gal Media.
Mapes, am I still a man shot if I wear Chacos?
What are Chacos?
What are Chacos?
You don't know what Chacos are?
No.
Okay, maybe that's an Alabama thing. So they're the ones with the straps on your feet that you can wear like in rivers and you can wear on the beach, and they're very easy to clean off. But they're like straps. They look like Jesus sandals is the best way I can put it.
They're like a little bit, I hesitate to say athletic, but they're like
they're in sport mode.
Yeah, they're in sport mode at all times. Basically, it's the cooler version of Crocs, but you get more sunburn on your feet.
What was the question you asked us?
Am I still a man child if I wear chocolate?
I feel like that's like the shoe version of a Subaru.
Well,
like,
it's a frat daddy shoe. That's the best way I can put it.
I think you're a man child if you wear those. And I would hesitate to use the word man.
All right. Well, I'm a boy child.
You're more of a boy child.
I'm a boy child, frat daddy Cole Thompson in the building.
What'd you call him? Chacos?
Chacos.
Men don't wear Chacos.
Yeah, well, real men wear tights, and you know what? I did that too in my lifetime.
713-780-3776. Your question for the Killer Bees, 9458. Is Brendan Riley off the show for good? Yes. Brendan Riley accepted a job elsewhere, and Brendan Riley will no longer be at the station. We didn't fire him. We were kidding about that, although we might have if he didn't take a job somewhere else. I'm kidding. 5639. Do the Cowboys finally exercise the Tom Brady demon tonight?
Brendan left? I didn't know this.
You didn't?
No.
I'm breaking news to you?
This is breaking news to me. I honestly didn't know
It's good
this.
That you're in touch with what's going on at your company.
No, he just texted me. He's like, this is my last day. And I thought, oh, last day, meaning that he's going to be gone for Martin Luther King Day. So I was like, oh, okay.
That's a really weird assessment to come up with.
Listen.
This is my last day. Yeah, of the week. What?
What did you think he meant by saying this is my last day?
I thought that he meant that he was going to be gone for the whole weekend, take an extra long week.
Oh, so he told you that on Friday.
He told me that on Friday.
Okay, it makes a little more sense now. I thought he told you that today.
No, he told me that on Friday. So I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll see you on Tuesday. No, I won't. Magic Johnson it. Yeah. What was the question again?
Yeah, he's gone. Is Brendan Riley gone? That was the question.
No.
Cole could not answer
yes.
that.
No, Tom Brady question.
Do the Cowboys finally exercise the Tom Brady demon tonight?
I'm not going to lie.
Let me handle the Brendan Riley questions for
you.
Okay,
you handle the Brendan. Listen, I could see a fact where Tom Brady walks away the win. I could absolutely see it. But I don't understand this whole notion of just like that Tampa Bay is that much better than Dallas. When you look based off just numbers and statistics and everything else, They're bottom five when it comes to rushing. The offensive line has taken a massive step back. The defensive line does not add the same pressure like it did a few years ago. And they don't really have a great number two or number three receiver outside of really Mike Evans. So I just view this as if Dak Prescott plays Dak Prescott football, but minus his one turnover. So instead of two turnovers, he has one turnover. They're going to win by at least 10 points. I actually think that Dallas wins tonight. I really do. And I think that they win pretty convincingly because if you saw this team all year long, basically, Dallas to me is an all-star team without an all-pro caliber coach and an all-pro caliber impact player on offense. But I don't think anything is positive coming out of Tampa Bay besides TB12.
Yeah, but who's got the better DVOA? I'm kidding. It's Dallas.
I say it's still Dallas.
It's still Dallas. One last question. 1440. Who improves in 2023? Texans. Who improves better? Texans or the Rockets? I think it's a good question. Good question.
Who do you get with the number? Who do you get if you're the Rockets?
If you get a top two pick, you get Victor or you get Scoot.
See, that's my thing. If you get Victor, I think that probably you get more wins in win percentage. But at the same time, if you get Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud...
Or Will Levis.
And you find a way to maybe get yourself an actual capable player at the number 12 pick, not Will Levis, I think that you're in very good hands to get at least 6 wins. The bottom line is that when you look at Houston, you can't get much lower than this. When you're the Rockets, if you miss out on a guy like Victor or Scoot, you definitely can't get much lower than this. That's the way that I view it.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. I think that the Rockets do. I think the Rockets, well, if they hit on the first two picks, if they get the lotto balls bouncing their way and they get a top two pick, I think the Rockets make better improvements, and they would also need a new head coach.
I will agree with you on that one.
They would need a new head coach. All right, every contender's flaw. The contenders in the NFL, they all have a flaw. What are they for the teams that you think is going all the way? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brannan.
Put the right around Hundley. He reaches. Oh, that ball's out. That's live. Back the other way. Sam Hubbard. The Cincinnati kid. Hubbard's got a convoy. Chased by Andrews. At the 30, the 20, he will score.
Mike Tirico on the call yesterday, last night, NBC. The difference in that game. Who had that as the difference in that game? It required Cincinnati getting the scoop and score, 98-yard fumble recovery when the Ravens were a yard away from taking a touchdown lead. Could have just, you know, if they get nothing on that play, kick the field goal and take the lead. I didn't have Cincinnati in that tight of a game yesterday with Baltimore. A wild finish in that one in Cincinnati.
Honestly, if you were to tell me that this was going to be the game where Tyler Huntley actually was not the problem, I would be sorely mistaken. Because the one thing that I know about the Cincinnati defense for most of the year, They have made second half adjustments like it's no one else's business. They find ways to eliminate big plays. They find ways to keep teams out of the end zone. 11 games this year, they've allowed 10 points or fewer in the second half. That has been the big difference maker between the Cincinnati team of last year and the Cincinnati team of this year. But man, you know what I actually love? I love when the hometown kid does something for the hometown city. Sam Hubbard.
You're romantic about your sports.
I am. I find it romanticizing. But Cincinnati, Sam Hubbard grew up in Cincinnati. He had to watch those desolate teams for years underneath Andy Dalton try and give them hope. He had to watch Marvin Lewis.
Are we sure he was a Bengal fan?
Yeah, he was. He grew up a Bengals fan.
Did he?
He announced when he got drafted, it was a dream of mine to come home to the city and play for this organization. Okay. So he gets extended as well. But for him to be able to score a touchdown, I find that to be a blessing in disguise. It's always great to see those who have been embraced inside the culture, understand Houday Nation, understand the turmoil, the trials, and the tribulations of being a part of a desolate wasteland franchise, absolutely go ahead and get their credit due. But also credit due, to Mike Tirico for actually giving NBC a leg to stand on when it came to broadcasting.
Did you have a dog in that fight last night?
No, I didn't. I didn't even bet on the game. That was one of the few games that I was like, I don't want to even touch it.
The only dog in the fight I had with that was Gal's money, and it was on the Bengals side of it because of BZ money. I found myself pulling for the Ravens last night.
I understand why.
Were you? Which side were you on?
No, I was pulling for the.
You're pulling for the Bengals
because I want better matchups when it comes to the playoffs.
That makes sense.
That's the only reason.
And I don't take Baltimore seriously, even if they won that game.
No,
just because I believe that quarterback plays a lot. I never felt Baltimore was ever going to win that game. Like even when they were on the goal line, a yard away from taking a touchdown, I never felt they were going to win that game. Like you turn it into the hands of Burrow. I feel like Burrow's going to figure something out. I feel like Burrow's going to find a way to make something happen. Huntley on the other side, I didn't feel that same way.
See, the whole thing was everyone was talking about after the game, they would have won the game if they would have gotten it in the end zone. How do you know that?
Exactly.
How do you know that Joe Burrow doesn't march down the field and puts himself in a situation right up there in the pinnacle when it comes to the tier rankings of Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes? Like, every single year, he has gotten better. He has gotten more calm. He feels the pressure in the pocket. The one thing I will appreciate about Joe Burrow last night is last season, he would have been blown the hell up because of the offensive line. This season, he understands that there's more pressure. He understands that there's more there's more of a pass rush, and he steps up in the pocket and delivers clean strikes. The biggest question mark for me moving forward with Cincinnati is if your offensive line is going to be this horrendous and you lose Jonah Williams and you don't have Lyle Collins and you don't have Alex Kappa, how do you go ahead and fix the passing attack? Because you're no longer going to be able to have that deep shot downfield because you're not going to have the time.
He also rode an elevator with me a couple weeks ago, Joe Burrow. So I think he's going to play some of his best football coming up. I think I'm going to inspire Joe Burrow to a Super Bowl. He's never won a Super Bowl before.
So you think that you're the reasoning of it?
We locked eyes. I mean, I could see it, just kind of him flipping a switch.
I wonder who's going to be first to admit when Joe Burrow wins the Super Bowl. You were Colin Cowherd that he fixed Joe Burrow.
What's Cowherd's reason?
He does the podcast on Wednesdays with Joe Burrow.
So every Wednesday.
Yeah, every Wednesday he has Joe Burrow on the Colin Cowherd podcast.
Has Cowherd sold that, though, that he's the one that's fixing Joe Burrow?
Well, he's the one that literally puts him at number one every single week. Like, Cincinnati, every single week rankings is
he's
number one.
Favorites.
And I'm like, dude. Come on. Like, I get it. You could be romantic. You could be brobos with Joe Burrow, but don't tell
he's
me
for
one
second.
He's
a very handsome man.
Joe Burrow?
He's a very handsome man.
I like Jalen Hurts better.
Yeah, he's a very handsome man.
I think Jalen Hurts is the best.
We all have a type, I guess. Every contender's flaw. You look around the NFL. I think every NFL team always has a flaw. I think that's part of the NFL salary cap league. You have to make tough decisions. You have to pick where you're going to be good in areas that you feel you can get away by being a little bit weaker. Looking around the NFL, what are the flaws of these contenders around the league?
So let's go ahead and start off with Buffalo. Buffalo is the most turnover machine. That's the big deal. They rely too heavily on big-time plays. Josh Allen this year has 7 games of multi-turnover games. So you basically win one way. You're not going to punch. You either go ahead and get the deep shots down the field or you're unable to score. And the other thing is that you do have those concerns when it comes to the drops. There was a drop in the end zone by Dawson Knox. There was a drop by Khalil Shakir on the 60-yard pass. So if you have to go into shootout formation and all you do is sling it deep, deep, deep downfield, you are one-dimensional as an offense. You rely too heavily on Josh Allen in the run game, in my opinion. And if you don't establish the run game, you rely too one-dimensional on the passing attack, and they only know how to win 20 yards down the field. So that's a concern for me with Buffalo.
Isn't it crazy that Allen kind of gets away? I love Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen's obviously a really good football player. I think there's probably 2 quarterbacks that are on a tier of their own. I think Mahomes on a tier of his
own. Yeah, he's on a tier.
And I think Allen's probably on that second tier by himself, quite honestly. People that are close to that?
So I would say Joe Burrow, I think, has moved up.
I think Joe Burrow's close to it. Maybe he's moved into
the Allen tier. But still, Mahomes is in his tier by himself.
So, do you think Allen's better than Burrow?
I think based off skill set, yes. But okay. I will say the consistency. And the other thing that no one seems to talk about, the confidence in Joe Burrow. Like, that confidence level is at an all-time high. That's the one. Like, that'd be like going into a bar fight with a guy who's like 5'7" and goes, all right, take your best shot. Like, that's the type of confidence that Joe Burrow has.
Yeah, he just oozes confidence. I felt that in the elevator when we had that ride together a couple of weeks ago. But
How were you able to see him when he was blocking out the haters with the shades on?
He didn't have the shades.
Oh, okay.
He parked in the parking garage. He took the service elevator from the garage to the hotel lobby. That's when we rode it together. He didn't. It was late.
He's rocking those purple shades 24/7.
I mean,
he
sleeps in the purple shades. They can vouch for me. I got witnesses that were also on that elevator ride. That it wasn't an individual. It wasn't one on one. Burrow and I.
So those people can take credit for Burrow.
Exactly.
They didn't lock eyes like I did. Most of them didn't even know it was Burrow. I had to tell them. I was like, you just rode next to Joe Burrow. Did you know that? That was Joe Burrow? Yeah, that good-looking man was Joe Burrow.
Joe Scheisty, baby. All right, let's talk about Cincinnati. There's
thing with Buffalo, because I wanted to talk about Allen a little bit. Okay. Isn't it crazy that Allen gives like so much for like leeway as much as he turns the basketball over? Like, it's almost James Harden, Russell Westbrook-esque, where they were leading the world in turnovers every single year, and no one cared. They can turn it over, but they're also going to score so many points and have so many assists. It's the same thing with Josh Allen. If Josh Allen's producing the yards, the touchdowns, the electric plays, they're willing to overlook the interceptions. I've never seen a quarterback in the NFL get away with interceptions like Josh Allen does.
Well, I mean, at the same time, that's the thing, is that when you're able to put up 40 points and throw 4 interceptions, it's Brett Favre 2.0. Like, Brett Favre leads the NFL in interceptions, but he's still a Hall of Famer because of what he was able to do with the offenses. So that's, in my opinion, how you get away with it. But again, if you aren't able to go ahead and have those deep shot plays, if you aren't able to have the connection with Gabriel Davis, if you aren't able to have that repertoire with Stephon Diggs, with Khalil Shakur, out of the backfield with Devin Singletary or James Cook now getting involved, and you're not able to have it in the red zone with Dawson Knox, then yeah, you will be criticized. And I'm more than happy to criticize Josh Allen because I was high on Josh Allen when he was coming out of Wyoming. I love the kid.
Did you really?
You
love quarterbacks who have zero accuracy in college. I've noticed that about you.
Branham,
you have a type.
Branham, I remember I met up with an agent. I was like, who's the one quarterback that people needed to be talking about? They said, if Josh Allen gets in the right offensive system, he's going to own the NFL.
Yeah.
So I bought into it immediately. I still hold that take to my highest point.
I watched
QB1 in 2018. I stand by that.
I watched Wyoming-Nebraska over the weekend. I wanted to see what Allen looked like in college compared to what Levis looks like in college.
Because the comparison of Josh Allen will Levis.
I did. I watched Nebraska Wyoming as I was getting ready. I think Saturday morning before the NFL. Wife was out of town. I had the house to myself. I wouldn't have done it otherwise. But yeah, I watched him. It was interesting. There were some comparisons there between the two. Quite honestly. All right, let's get to the rest of the contenders in the NFL on the other side. Every contender's flaws as we're in the final day of the Super Wild Card Weekend. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
No Joe Blank today. Joel Blank is not here. He's with the family. He's hanging out with the family. Instead, it's Cole Thompson filling in for Joel Blank. We were going over the every flaw for contenders. We talked about Buffalo. Big play dependent, turn it over a good amount of time. Who was the next team you were going to go over that I cut you off with?
Cincinnati.
Because it's my show. Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's your show. So would you allow me to talk about Cincinnati? Is that okay?
No, I don't want you to talk about
Cincinnati.
Fine,
I won't talk about Cincinnati.
I want you to go with Kansas City.
Okay. Kansas City is the only team left in the playoffs right now with a plus-minus turnover ratio at -4.
Are they really? I would not have guessed that.
Yeah. So they lead the NFL in passing touchdowns. They also lead the NFL in most touchdowns allowed. In coverage.
What you're telling me is turnovers are overrated.
Yeah, turnovers are very much overrated. Basically.
They're -4.
They're a -4. They're the only team left in the postseason with a minus.
What's Buffalo
ratio
at? Buffalo's like even?
Zero.
I remember watching that over the, or seeing that graphic. So that's interesting. Because a lot of people are like, you got to get a lot of turnovers. You got to be plus in the turnover battle.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Mahomes leads the NFL with 41 touchdowns, but they also only have allowed, they've also allowed like 38 touchdowns in coverage. So it's like they win one way, which is shootout formation. And what was really funny was I actually thought that if Los Angeles would have gotten the win, Los Angeles would have gone to the AFC Championship game. Because if it's very hard to beat a team three times in a regular season, and in both games, they only won by 3 points.
Hold on. You're saying that the Chargers would have beaten the Chiefs?
If Brandon Staley knew how to be a competent coach, yeah. Why?
This might be the final day for you with the Killer Bees this week.
Uh-huh.
I hate that saying, by the way, that the whole it's hard to beat a team three times.
It is.
You know what's also hard to do? It's hard to beat the Kansas City Chiefs once. That's also hard to do.
Well, Buffalo did it. Kansas City, I mean, Cincinnati did it. Cincinnati, okay. Cincinnati's done it four times. With
All
Joe
right.
Burrow. Joe Chiesi.
How many times did the Chargers do it this year, you said?
They didn't do it either.
Oh, okay.
Oh, but they, right.
That's
okay.
How difficult it is. Okay. That's how difficult it is. It wasn't hard to beat the Chargers.
No. But hey, it's not that hard when a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, and that's exactly what happened.
Are you saying the Kansas City Chiefs are finding a nut?
No, I'm saying that Brandon Staley needs to find a nut. He needs to be able to grab his cojones and probably go ahead and bring back the likes of stability. That's
right,
what I think.
You can talk about Cincinnati now.
Offensive line. It's offensive line. It's without question offensive line. Plain and simple. There's no
especially
other way to
with
put
the
it.
Injury.
Well, now here's the thing. Lyle Collins was going to miss some time. We already knew that he was out because of the torn ACL. But this was the only offensive line in the NFL through week 15 that was the same five every single week. So that was a big deal. But not only that, Max Sharping, former Houston Texan legend, yeah, is now starting in place of Alex Kappa. So you got to go ahead and hope that happens. But Jonah Williams missed six total offensive snaps all season long. He's now out, and now you have Jackson Carman, who struggled last season at guard, playing left tackle. And you're going up against the fifth best pass rush in the NFL in the Buffalo Bills.
And they struggled against the Ravens, who aren't very good. Like, they very well could have lost that game with a backup quarterback after they blew them out last week in Week 18. I don't really love Cincinnati. I think that number started at, 3.5 or 4? I think it's going to get bet up.
Yeah, I think it's going to get bet up. 5.5 right now.
Really?
I think it's moving up.
Because I think it opened at 3.5 or 4.
I think it's going to move
up. Wow, it already moved up 1.5?
And I would not
That's fascinating.
And then again, if Alex Kappa doesn't play, you have Max Sharping at left guard. You already have a backup at right tackle. And now you have either a rookie, Donte Smith, who's never played a single down in the NFL, or you have Jackson Carman playing left tackle. And that changes the way of your offensive approach when it comes to the passing attack, because you can't be able to go ahead and move the six downfield with a guy like T. Higgins or a guy like Ja'Marr Chase. You're going to rely heavily on guys like Tyler Boyd and Hayden Hurst to be your guys, because if you don't, you're not going to be able to have anything.
Baltimore was really physical with Burrow yesterday, too. Like, they were being very physical with Burrow. They were trying to make him feel their presence. All right, are you done with the contenders in the AFC?
No,
because there's a fourth team, Jacksonville, but are they a contender? I would argue that they're not.
Probably not. And the one thing I will say about Jacksonville is that if they're able to go ahead and capitalize on the turnovers from the likes of Kansas City, they maybe have a shot. But at the same time, you got to appreciate what Jacksonville is. They're a team that's kind of like a run-of-the-mill, congratulations, best of the worst situation, and they got to win in the playoffs. That only shows you what we already knew, Jeremy, before this: coaching matters.
Yeah. Oh,
coaching
matters
people. This was the weekend that coaching matters. Not any other weekend, but this is the weekend that coaching matters.
My timeline was telling me that coaching matters in the NFC, in the NFL this weekend. Okay, cool.
No,
is this the first time you thought coaching mattered in the NFL? I guess it's a foreign thing to you.
No.
Maybe it is to the Texans the last couple of years, though.
The contenders for all year have been Cincinnati, it's been Kansas City, and it's been Buffalo.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider Jacksonville a contender, but for the sake of including them in the conversation, I mean, they are in the tournament. They are one of the four teams in the AFC. All right, switching over to the NFC, let's start at the top of Philadelphia.
I honestly think that it comes to injury. Like, injury is the big thing right now, because if you don't know if Lane Johnson's going to be playing, Avante Maddox has been a stud in the nickel. Now you have to move C.J. Gardner-Johnson down to the nickel to be able to make up for the production. So now you have a flaw with Reed Blankenship playing free safety. You have question marks at the other side of the offensive line as well. And I wonder about Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts did not look like Jalen Hurts against a backup New York Giants team. So now that you have him in the playoffs and he has a week to kind of reevaluate, is he going to be able to improve? Because at the same time, we can admit that if the reward for most valuable player goes to the most valuable player on your team, Jalen Hurts playing efficient football is the reason why Philadelphia is sitting right now at 13-4. But still, I look right now at this team. You need help on the offensive line. You need to be able to have the best right tackle in football. You need to be able to have a really good nickel defender, because what that does is it allows you to have C.J. Gardner-Johnson, which before the injury led the NFL in the likes of interceptions. You need to have that on your back end. So if Jalen Hurts feels the pressure and he's not able to get the ball to playmakers like Devonta Smith, like A.J. Brown, like Dallas Goedert, that leads you to have more of an upset. And I will say, the one thing we can appreciate about a Wink Martindale defense: blitz the hell out of you. And they're going to do that all game long with Kayvon Thibodeau. They're going to do that with the likes of Azeez Ojulari if he does play. They're going to do that up the middle with Jalen Smith. Like, Jalen Smith is an absolute dumpster fire for a starter as a linebacker, but he knows how to blitz. He knows how to go ahead and get up in the pressure in the face of a quarterback.
A niche player. I'm pulling for the Eagles because I want Jalen Hurts. All right, San Francisco, because there's obviously one glaring weakness with the 49ers.
It's Brock Purdy.
Yeah,
it's Brock Purdy. I'm sorry. Listen, he's a great story. I love the fact that Mr. Irrelevant is very relevant. I love the fact that he is able to work in this style of offense. But don't tell me for 1 second that if you're going up against a pass rush like Dallas, or if you're going up against a pass rush like Philadelphia, even a pass rush like the New York Giants right now, you can't tell me that if you're down by 14, you're going to be able to get a comeback in that. Because the thing was, you look at Seattle. Seattle is a great story. It's great to see that Pete Carroll actually was part of the driving force for that organization, not just Russell Wilson. But Seattle was always a rebuilding team. They have two rookies playing left and right tackle. They have a rookie running back. They have a rookie cornerback. They have a rookie nickel defender. They don't have a great pass rush. They don't have a great defensive line. So you were going to be able to go ahead and find a way to win. You may not be able to do that against a Dallas team. You may not be able to do that against a San Francisco team. You may not even be able to do that against a New York Giants team. So Brock Purdy, as good as he was in the second half, you cannot have that bad of a performance in the first half if you want to be able to win.
NFC contender conversation ends there, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not throwing Dallas in there. I can't. I can't put the Giants in that conversation. I just can't put Dallas.
And it's interesting, though, with Brady. Like, I mean, Brady, Tampa Bay, I agree with what you said earlier. I don't think Tampa Bay is really that good.
No.
I think they've been bad for most. And bad's probably too strong. They've just been incredibly mediocre. They've been incredibly average. And they have a below-average record. They're 8-9. But it's Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady's the ultimate hope for Tampa Bay. And I can understand why you have that hope there. He's got the greatest football resume of all time.
No, the biggest thing for me is that the last person I want a ball in their hands with a minute 45 left is Tom Brady. So if you're down by only 3 points, congratulations, just pack up the bag and go home. Because you're not winning. Tom Brady is the only quarterback besides Patrick Mahomes with 13 seconds left on the clock, which I'm still not over for the likes of Josh Allen. I still am mad about that play. It's the only quarterback in the NFL right now that I would say, oh, there's a minute 45 left? Yeah, we lost. Honestly, like a minute left, I still would say, oh, you know what? He's just going to throw a ball up to Mike Evans. Mike Evans, 9 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, been able to work with literally every single quarterback under the sun and make them look competent. Yeah, I trust that he's going
to
get a win.
3941, pushing back at that thing you said earlier, though, where it's tough to beat a team 3 times. He says, not even a true stat. The team that has won twice in the regular season is 20-14 in the playoffs.
And the team
hard to beat a great team once.
Here's a fun stat for you. What was it, 3709?
Not even close.
Oh, whatever.
3941.
Congratulations. You have a nice number. Anyways, here's a fun stat for you. Teams that are sub 500 that host a playoff game are 4-2 in matches of the divisional. The wild card.
You're throwing a lot. This is hurting my head, man. I need a calculator with all of this.
So they're 4-2 when they're under 500.
Hold on. What?
4-2 when the sub 500 team that wins the division host of us.
You're talking about Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Tampa Bay.
This guy's talking about your saying about
right. So I'm just saying stats are irrelevant sometimes, just like his stat. Right
oh
there.
Yeah. I mean, what's the old saying? There's stats, lies, and damn lies.
Something like that.
You can kind of make a case with whatever. I mean, it's hard to beat a good team 3 times. I get that.
But
hard to beat a great team once.
But be honest with yourself. Los Angeles is not a bad team on paper. They're a bad team because of who's coaching them on the sidelines. Like, if you had Sean Payton in the building, or you had someone of competence in the building, or even an offensive guy, your guy, Benjamin Johnson.
Yeah,
right
Benny.
Benjamin.
I agree with that, but those guys aren't. Like, it would be Brandon Staley coaching against the Chiefs.
So that is
the scenario. You can't just all of a sudden drop new head coach in when they're in the middle of the playoffs.
But in game one, they didn't have Mike Williams or Keenan Allen. This game, they would at least have Keenan Allen out there. They would also have Joey Bosa out there, which would be beneficial for the pass rush. And this is, again, a team that has a negative 4+ plus-minus turnover ratio. So I can understand
Bosa in the game against Jacksonville.
No, against Jacksonville they did, but not against Kansas City in both the
matchups.
So that's what I'm saying. So now you add in another pass rusher. You also have Derwin James for one of those games, which you didn't have for one of those games. So you may have split the series 1-1. So congratulations. I'm not a stats guy. I'm more of a...
You're not?
No.
What?
Crazy. I know. Like, no, I
think half of the things you said in this segment were more numbers than letters.
I don't do numbers. Like, that's why I work in behind a microphone and scream into it for 3 hours a day. Like, that's why I do that for a living. But I do say... I know what you're saying. Not a great number. But you know what else is not a great number? Not 8-9 making the playoffs and hosting a playoff game. Yet somehow, congratulations, 4-2 for sub-500 teams that have lost their division. I mean, that won the division and are playing against 500 teams or better.
I think my favorite moment of the weekend, though, involved Bosa. When Bosa slammed his helmet down and then Staley picked it up and handed it back to him and just slammed it down again. That was my favorite moment of Wild Card Weekend. The double slam by Bosa. And then, of course, him getting baited by the official. That was cool, too.
Hold up. Was Staley the one that picked up the helmet, gave
sure
it back
Staley.
To him, and then threw it down again?
Yeah, Staley's like, here's your helmet, Mr. Bosa. And then Bosa slammed it again. That was classic. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. I'm about to head to New Orleans right after the show. What are the best stops on I-10 on the way to the boot? Also, Minnesota Vikings announcer, I think, crossed the line. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's Colt Thompson filling in for Joel Blank today. Joel Blank will be back tomorrow. Hopefully he brings a better what-up H-Town than what we had today.
Oh my God.
The debacle, the travesty. I mean, you'll have to go... You have to watch some film on this and figure out where you can get better. It's by far the worst What Up H-Town that we've ever had in the history of the Killer Bee program.
How many people have done it besides me?
I think we've had every fill-in do. I've done it. Mine was great. Mine was probably the best fill-in What Up H-Town.
Yours is probably a two.
No, mine was outstanding. Beard did it whenever he filled in. I haven't worked with many people. Blankers doesn't miss many days. He's usually an Ironman. Soft today for whatever reason. But
Mapes.
Usually an Ironman. Mapes never filled in. Mapes has never
Mapes.
Done it.
Scale of 1 to 10, me or Beard, who did better?
Oh, like I remember what Josh Beard
did
with
way better. Town. He's kind of a character where he's silly enough where he's going to be like, you know, he's going to be all right at it.
Yeah, I have no, I do not remember.
His was much better.
I will give myself a 4. I will say a 4 is fine.
Nothing more than a 1. Anything more than a 1 is bias, is what that is.
Okay.
I'm going to be driving to New Orleans here in the next couple of minutes as soon as
why?
We get off. What's up?
Why?
Because we're playing basketball tomorrow night. I'm doing a broadcast, number one team in the country.
So you guys say, what
Houston Cougars
up,
on the road. No, I will not be saying, hey, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? Those are words that will never come out of my mouth.
No, but you're going to say, hey, what up, Nola? How we doing?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to be saying that either. I'm asking you, what are the best things to do? Like, the best stops on the way to New Orleans? I have a couple of hot spots. We'll get into it in a second. But I came across this morning. Paul Allen, who's the Minnesota Vikings radio announcer.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to him rip one of his own during the playoff game this weekend against the Giants.
Jalen Reagor muffed it where he should have called fair catch and the Vikings held on to it. That's so freaking unacceptable. That's unbelievable he just did that. Let's pause. 4:12 to go in the third quarter. 24-21 Giants. Vikings ball on the KFA and Minnesota Vikings radio network. Not driven by Jalen Reagor, driven by Polaris.
Man! Just ripped him. Like, he ripped him initially. Like, oh, I can't do that. What's he doing? But then, like, goes out of his way to rip him as they're going to station identification. We're not driven by Jalen Reagor. We're driven by Polaris. Like, my goodness. If I'm, like, I'm a radio guy. Like, I obviously do U of H basketball,
right.
U of H baseball. I'm involved with the football broadcast as well. If I said that, I would fire myself. I would fire that guy if I'm the boss. If I'm whoever his superior is, I'm firing that dude. You don't rip a player like that. Yeah. Absolutely not.
Here's the only thing I will say. Did you watch? I mean, let's be real. Of course you didn't watch it, but the game that it was 33-0 Indianapolis and
no.
They blew the lead.
No.
So they ripped everyone on the Minnesota Vikings. Like the same broadcast crew ripped everyone. It's like, and here comes a tackle. And that needs to be an ejection immediately. What a bonehead play. I can't believe that they're leaving him in the game. What an absolute joke. He has called out Jalen Reagor 4 different times this season. Jalen Reagor stops at the top of the route. What in the actual hell is he doing? How are we making this work? It's Polaris brought to you by the likes of the Minnesota
Vikings.
They
got to get rid of this
guy. He would do that.
Get rid of this guy.
He did that 3 different times in that game. So like, if it was anybody else, I'd be like, wow. That's just so rude. Oh, no, it's the Vikings. Then the Vikings are going through hell and high water.
I know this guy has some pull, I guess. I guess he's been the their radio guy since 2002. So probably like Vandermeer. Vandermeer's been there since 2002. So you're looking at 20 years as the voice of the Vikings. I bet you if you ask Vandy, I bet you Vandy would say that he would fire himself if he went in at a player like this.
Probably.
You can't be doing that crap.
I mean, at the same time, though, if you got away with it once, go ahead and double down until you get away with it a second time.
Well, eventually, he's going to cost him his job.
Oh, no, of course it did. I mean, everyone remembers what happened with Tom Brandeman. I mean, we're all talking about that and a long fly ball to left field. 4-0 in Cincinnati Reds doesn't matter anymore. I apologize. It's now 4-0. Like, it's going to happen eventually.
Unacceptable. Yeah. Unacceptable behavior here by Paul Allen. I can't believe that it happened. All right, where should I be stopping here? A few minutes away, I'm going to be driving I-10 east, headed to New Orleans. Had to double check to make sure I was going in the right direction. Headed to New Orleans. Usually my normal go-to, and tell me if I'm doing this wrong or not. A couple people saying, I found this one funny. 3941, I-10 at the Louisiana border is almost always a nightmare. I would try and avoid it if possible. I'll plug it into Waze. It's not my first drive. I'll plug it into Waze, make sure I'm not hitting any traffic stops. So normally what I'll do is probably a Bucky stop at Baytown. I got to get some gas. I'll make sure to get some seeds because I need some seeds on a drive. Keeps me up, keeps me awake.
What
probably
type of
a
seeds
drink.
Is the question?
I'm not going to say the company because we've been trying to get them on as an advertiser because we've been pushing them and they've kind of been balking. Smokehouse Barbecue.
Okay.
Smokehouse Barbecue. Usually I get a couple bags. Always Smokehouse Barbecue and usually original. I'm not a huge flavor dude when it comes to seeds.
See, I'm all about the ranch.
Barbecue. Give me the barbecue. Give me the original and I'm good.
I'm all about the ranch.
You like the ranch?
Give me the ranch. If you can get me one certain brand, won't name them because I'm not going to try and get you in trouble with them, but if you can get me dill pickle brand.
I think I have a bag at the house.
I love the dill pickle ones. I do. I think there's something about them that's just so tart that it makes me kind of focus when I'm driving.
I might have an extra bag of those at the house, actually.
I love the dill pickle.
If I do, I'll check and I'll leave it up here at the station if I have any. Because I think I had a bag. I didn't like it. I didn't open the second bag because I think I had a second bag. They sent me a bunch of them to try. The Smokehouse Barbecue is outstanding.
Yeah, I always do dill pickle or I do ranch.
Do you do the jalapeno ranch?
No, just the regular.
Okay.
Just a regular. But what I also do is I always get the king size version of the Reese's peanut butter cups. So I always get that. Always get a bag of Bucky's Bucky Nuggets. Not Bucky Nuggets. The cheese Cheeto version of like Bucky brand kind of thing.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Those ones. And I always get a giant Coke Icy.
They usually have the jalapeno cheddar ones too.
Those are the cheese puffs. Those are very good.
I'm not a huge sweet guy unless it's a soda. I need to quit that habit. But usually for me, it's the seeds, a soda. If I'm hungry, I'll get the little like chopped beef. But I'm not going to eat here because I have future plans on I-10 whenever I get to Scott, Louisiana. Because whenever I get to Scott, Louisiana, the move that I'm usually making is the best stop. The Best Stop supermarket, give me a couple of links of the boudin, give me some cracklin', and the rest of the trip is a piece of cake after that. Now, I might have a little bit too much to eat, but usually it's an easy trip the rest of the way. I love me some boudin. I love me some cracklin'.
So I will say, because I went to Alabama for college, so we had to take I-20 to go all the way up to Tuscaloosa. There would always be this one random gas station. I forget where it is, but it's right before you get on the border of I-20. Take it that way. They had the best boudin I've ever had in my entire life. It was sold out. It was like sold in the back corner. They had that. They had beef jerky. They had gator tails. I always would stop there on my way home and on my way to Tuscaloosa. Go ahead and fill up on that. I'd spend $40. I'd go through the food within 15 minutes.
See, I love the Best Stop. I don't know if I could pass up on the Best Stop, especially because I haven't had it in a while. And I believe they're bringing a Best Stop to Katy.
Are they?
They're building a Best Stop in Katy from what I've heard. So that's pretty cool. 1420 says stop at Billy's and Scott. I've never stopped at Billy's either. He said get a boudin ball and some cracklin'. I don't love the boudin ball as much as the boudin.
No, boudin is boudin, like, and boudin balls are completely different things.
I don't want my boudin fried. Like it dominates the flavor at that point.
I think it takes away
from the boudin. Like if I want boudin, I want boudin and I want to eat the boudin. I don't want to eat the fried ball around the boudin. So give me the boudin link.
No, I want as much meat as possible.
Absolutely.
That's what I want every single time.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. 9656, I always go to Don's Specialty Meat outside of Lafayette. I've done that a few times as well. It's good. And it's a little faster, too, because it's right there off of I-10. Now, you do have to do that little weird loop around.
Yeah.
But it's closer than the Best Stop. The Best Stop, you kind of, if you're going towards New Orleans, you got to exit, make that left. It's like a mile down the road. So it's, I wouldn't say it's out of the way, but it does take a little bit longer. Now, I would say that it's worth it. Normally on my stop as well, I can't do it today because it's a Monday and this place is closed on Monday, but usually my final stop in the way into New Orleans is in Metairie, right off of I-10, the best seafood gumbo you can possibly get, Ron's Gumbo Shop.
Yep.
Ron's Gumbo Shop is so good, but it's closed on Monday, so I won't be able to make it today, but after I do tomorrow's show and before U of H plays Tulane, that's going to be my pregame spot. I'm going to go down to Metairie, a little bit out of the way. I don't care. It's worth it for the Ron's Gumbo Shop seafood gumbo. And I'm going to get myself a bowl of the best seafood gumbo in Louisiana.
No, whenever you find that one special institution, you will drive miles out of the way. I remember when I was driving through, I think it was Monroe, Louisiana, and there was a really good jerky place that I remember stopping at when I was like 18 years old. I would drive 35 miles away from the likes of I-20 just to go ahead and stop and get the turkey jerky. Because I love the turkey jerky. Like, that would be the thing that I would immediately always do. I didn't care about how much it would take off time.
Hold on, what kind of jerky?
Turkey jerky.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on, man. I gotta watch my figure.
Turkey jerky?
I gotta watch my figure. This is why I have the body for radium.
Instead of beef jerky, you're going with turkey jerky?
Turkey jerky, man. Love turkey jerky. Gotta be my favorite.
Man, I was already planning on not inviting you back before, but now you just, that's, There's no doubt about it. I think this might be your final day with the Killer Bees.
You'll miss me.
I think this might be your final day with like, Turkey Jerky, Zach Grocock, and Kendall Heineman. I should have said his last name. Anyways, they both tweeted me, and they said Daryl's Po' Boys and Jennings. They said both of them. These are two separate people to order the Daryl special. I've never had that. Have you ever been to Daryl's Po' Boys and Jennings?
I have not.
I'm going to have to check that out. I might have to make some alterations. If more than one person is telling me that, I might have to make a stop at Daryl's. I love a good po' boy.
Let me ask you out of curiosity. What's the place right on the border the bridge? It's a seafood place.
Huh?
There's a seafood place right next to the border of where it is, right before you go over the bridge.
Where at? New Orleans or right when you cross the state line?
No, right over the state line.
I don't know. I've never had there.
I think,
Are you talking about Steamboat Bill's?
No, it's not Steamboat Bill's.
Because there's some in like Beaumont.
There's another one there. It's right on the other side of Beaumont. So we always stop there for crawfish during the crawfish season.
I'll have to check it out. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks to Mapes for pulling double duty today and hanging out with us. Thank you to Cole Thompson. I enjoyed it. As much grief as I gave you, I enjoyed it. Filling in for Joel Blank today. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.